Podtacular episode 355, Castle Unveiled, for March 23rd, 2013. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm, and we are in PAX East over in Boston, Massachusetts. Boston. And we're at the end of Saturday, so we've had plenty of time to look at the show floor. We've had time to go to panels and see what 343 is doing with multiplayer, kind of going from here on out. And we've got to see a lot of things, meet a lot of cool people, and I have three of those people with me here in the room today. So we have some RUL staffers to kind of give us a little bit of rundown on some of the castle maps that we actually got to play on in a party that we got invited to. Yeah. So we're going to just go around the room since we're all in the same hotel room, and they can introduce themselves.
My name is Steve, also known as SMG90. I am ReadyUpLive.com's human relations.
I am Dustin. I am known as Mickey126. I am not a staffer, actually, on RUL, but I'm just a regular. It's still cool.
But you will be after this.
Yeah, that might change. We'll see what happens. Working your way.
My name's Dustin as well. There's actually three of us in the room right now.
Triple D!
And I'm also otherwise known as Drax, or Drax122, and I'm RUL's creative manager.
I must say, it's kind of funny because you got Dustin, and Steve. Combo breaker.
Combo breaker.
Steve.
I blew it.
Steve.
Oh, damn. Dang it, Steve.
It's all my fault. Scuba Steve. You're now known as Scuba Steve.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Oh, let's not start that.
That does not need to happen.
I want to join the Scuba Squad.
Hashtag blame Rebel.
Yes. we're gonna blame Rebel for Steve being called Scuba Steve now.
And you guys are gonna make him listen to this, aren't you?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. So we all got invited to a VIP party on Thursday. It was the Mad Cats Unveiled party, and there was actually a special 2-hour window where Halo members that were selected by BS Angel gracefully let us come in early and play the castle map packs without interruptions. So there were about 24 different stations set up with Halo,
yes,
with the castle map packs loaded, and we got to play for 2 hours uninterrupted before it was open to general invitees for this unveiled event, which actually turned out to be like a Marvel vs. Capcom fighting tournament from the best players in the world.
And all I saw was butt mashing.
Yeah, like the crowd would like randomly scream sometimes in the middle of a Halo match, and we'd be like, oh, that's cute. Let me go back to shooting my friends.
A lot of times I thought they were cheering for me, because I mean, there was one time I literally got like this awesome stick, and I'm like, oh, here's, yeah! And I'm like,
oh. Yeah, they're like, if you guys have watched any of the competitive stuff, when everyone goes like crazy in an MLG event, yeah, that would happen everyone once in a while. We'd look up and be like, okay. Back to gaming.
Yeah.
But back to our Halo.
Something that's really, really cool to point out is that this wasn't like a big, like, there was only like 26 stations, but that doesn't mean that there was like 5 people that had to rotate on and off. It was literally 26 stations, and once somebody sat down, you didn't ever have to move. There wasn't a lot of people there at all for the exclusive part.
We moved around a lot just to switch up teams and stuff like that, and you know, to mingle with other people. But if you wanted to sit down at one station and sit there and play all night, you could, because there really wasn't that many people there. So it was pretty cool that we actually got some real one-on-one time with these maps,
and real one-on-one time with a lot of the Tom Potter was there, and 343, and
yeah, Kevin was there, Bravo was there, Jess was there.
Yes.
Major shout out to BS Angel, because she actually spent a lot of time, and there was an open bar until 8 o'clock, but afterwards we started to have to pay. However, she was generous enough to continue to get us free drinks using her 343 powers after 8 o'clock.
So shout out to Jess for being the official cocktail waitress of Mad Cats Unveiled.
I'm going to have to make that as a hashtag whenever I post this on Twitter. Yeah.
Hashtag blame Rebel.
Blame Rebel and BS Angel.
No. No, big shout out to them.
Yeah, thank you guys very much for the invitation. We really appreciate it.
It was an incredible experience, and it was a lot of fun, and we met a lot of really, really cool people.
Right. And now that we just wasn't restricted to the event, we got to meet a lot of cool people throughout the entire convention.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, that was just the first, that was before the convention even started. That was Thursday night, and the convention didn't start until Friday. So, I mean, we showed up on Thursday, and we were having this amazing party, and the convention didn't even start.
Yeah, like, and we, like, even with a lot of the good Halo communities that a lot of other people know, like Gritball Hub and Halo Community.
Halo Community,
They were there, and it was just a wicked and amazing time just getting to experience these brand new maps that are absolutely amazing.
These maps are phenomenal. They really, really, really help to make Big Team in Halo 4 what it really should have been.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
Certain Affinity pulled out all the stops on these maps this time. We'll go into detail with each map, but it's just...
They're designed incredibly fairly. You know, a problem I noticed in a lot of the Big Team maps currently in play was that, say, Longbow as an example. You would play the game, and if you did not start out strong, you'd be in trouble because the other team would hoard the power weapons and they would develop ordnance.
And just hold down top mid and the top mid base.
Yeah, even if you got pushed back a second, you could not recover. These maps, in the way they're designed, offer lots and lots and lots of tactical advantages that you can use
against your enemy.
Yeah.
So if you can't tell, this will not be another Longbow at all.
No. They've really kind of redesigned some of the ways that you could think of contemporary Big Team with just how their map layout is. And we'll get into details for when we go through each map.
Yeah.
So we're just going to be focusing on what we found out about the maps, what we kind of learned from our experiences on Thursday night. Of course, there's lots of stuff that we'll talk about later in terms of panels and people that we got to meet. But we're just kind of focusing right now on our experiences from Thursday night and what we kind of took back from the map. So this is our first-hand experience kind of translated to you guys so you know what to expect when the Castle Map Pack drops in a couple of weeks. So I think for the most part, we are at inconsistent for what we want to talk about first.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we need to talk about our quote-unquote least favorite map, because there was really no bad map, but I think the first one we need to talk about
Which I actually conflict with, but...
Really?
Yeah, my least favorite, quote-unquote...
Was the second one I think we're going to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. The first one I think we're going to talk about is Perdition.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the reason is that because Perdition, for me, really harkens back to that turf...
Yeah. Yeah,
district from Halo 2 Vista.
Turf and Terminal, actually, because...
The monorail, I think it is.
Yeah.
The train going right over the map. It's really cool, because I loved seeing those dynamic set pieces in Halo 2 with the train on Terminal.
Yeah, I mean...
I loved that.
It's no longer a hazard in this map anymore, because it is up high in the top of the map, so there's no real way for you to get killed by it at all, but it just adds a whole nice... living dynamic to the map.
Like a nice motion and a flow to it. So.
Yeah, right. so certain liveliness.
Flat.
The story behind Perdition is that you're in the underbelly of a city, and the reactor in that city is about to go critical. And now, I gotta say, this reactor is a really, really cool-looking set piece, and it's a really good call-out point as well.
Yeah, they mentioned that multiple times. If you watch the panel... Kevin Franklin actually mentioned that a lot, and that it really is, you find yourself going back to that point on the map multiple times throughout a match. No matter how long the match is, you're going to be in that reactor area, I'd say at least half the time when you're on the map, if not more.
Well, it's the high ground. It's pretty much the highest point in the map, and you're always fighting for that high ground.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember what they said. The map isn't symmetrical at all.
It's not asymmetrical.
Yeah, and there's like we were saying, there's so many places to, I don't want to say hide because I don't want to promote camping, but there's so many places for you to just to hide and get away from your enemies.
There's so many rooms and corners that like you just not like camping rooms, but like
I remember
a couple times where I was actually going against you, Dustin. Like, I'd come around a corner, and I'd be like, where'd he go? And
wait, which
sudden,
Dustin?
Which
one? Oh, people at home don't know.
Oh, man. This is
Dust Storm.
Yes. Dust Storm. I actually was getting in a firefight with you, and I literally came around a corner, and I was following you, and all of a sudden, like, where'd he go? And all of a sudden, from behind, I get shot at. I'm like, wait, how did he get there? And
yeah.
I spent the next entire match exploring that route. Yeah, two kills.
Yeah, that being said, you guys are going to want to take some time before you jump into matchmaking with these, and probably walk through them at least a couple of times to try and memorize some of the routes, because...
You don't want to be surprised with somebody assassinating you in the back.
Yeah. Learn those little quick getaways and little jumps to get away from your enemies, because they're going to save your butt a lot.
For all those maps that I played, it took at least 3 or 4 times before I even got a general sense of the feel of the map.
Basic layout,
and then from that, every other game that I play, it's like I'm learning more new things about how the map actually works and flows.
Yeah. Yeah, it took me a couple of games to get down the weapon callouts, like at least where the weapons spawn on the map.
Some are kind of obscuring out of the way as well. The weapon layout is a little peculiar in this map set.
It works well.
You'll be a little confused when you first play the map.
Yeah, I think is Perdition the first map? I mean, don't flame me if I'm wrong, but like I can't remember if there's any other maps that actually spawn initial spawns with concussion rifles at each base. I don't think that there is one.
At each base? No, I think there's another map that spawns a concussion rifle.
Yeah. But I think Perdition's the first
one. Which may be Vortex?
Possibly?
I could be wrong.
Maybe, but there's one at each base on Perdition. Not at each base, but it's just outside each base, out on the, well, on the sidewalk, but next to the street.
There is two ghosts, too.
Yeah, there's two ghosts, and the Rocket Hog on the map that... and like I said, they mentioned in the panel
used.
Too.
Yeah,
we played a lot of CTF and Free For All, and in Free For All, getting a Warthog is not the smartest idea.
There was a point where I did drive out with the Rocket Hog. I did die fairly quickly, but I was able to use it as a turret to take out at least 3 or 4 guys.
Yeah,
pretty easily. But it wasn't overpowering, obviously, because I died pretty quickly.
Yeah, they say it's very effective at literally just annoying the crap out of everybody by driving around the outside of the map.
Yeah.
And there's multiple routes you can take. It's not just one main road you drive with this Warthog. Like in some maps where you just circle and circle and circle, like you have multiple ways you can zigzag and, you know, cross and confuse people so they can't predict your path.
To be honest, actually, now that you actually mentioned that, you know what? That map actually, in a weird way, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Exile, almost. Like, because you have the middle area where you can get in there, and you actually have the outside where you're going to have some vehicular combat.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like, it's not going to be...
Yeah, like the area with
scorpions
the reactor.
And goshawks going around and around and around, but...
That really... Exile, there's a point on about Exile that reminds me of the... Another map we're going to talk about.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, Outcast?
No, Daybreak.
We're going to talk about Daybreak first?
You want to talk about Daybreak now?
Daybreak is
that was my personal favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely our...
Oh, okay.
That's definitely my favorite.
Because, I mean...
Wow.
We'll get into it. I mean, we can talk about it last if you want, or another
one. It could be situational bias, but I personally had really good encounters on that map.
Oh, yeah. We definitely know that. Drax here is obsessed with Daybreak after certain incidents that involve BS Angel.
We'll talk about the Banshee a bit real quick here. apparently, according to BS Angel, I'm no longer allowed to use the Banshee on Daybreak ever again. And if I do, I'm banned and fired and everything else. Just check her Twitter. I killed her many times with the Banshee in one game, and she literally stood up in the middle of the match and yelled at me. The Banshee was actually, originally, when Tom Potter was talking about it at the panel, not supposed to be on the map. They were playtesting it, they were almost done with it, and they realized it was missing something, they couldn't quite put their finger on it, and so they threw the Banshee in there as a suggestion they got from someone. And you can tell, if you look at the Banshee, where it spawns on the map, that they didn't just throw it in there, but it doesn't really have its own place, it's kind of just like in the middle of the road. Really?
Yeah, but it really feels like where it is, though, after playing it, it really feels like that's exactly where you'd want to rush to.
Oh, it's either that or the rocket spawn on the other side.
Yeah, which is on the opposite side, which is in caverns, so the Banshee can't just be like, oh,
yeah,
look,
the
rockets,
Banshee,
I'm just going to hammer
Banshee
this down.
Can't spam the rockets.
I don't want you guys to get the idea that the Banshee's overpowered on this.
No,
it's absolutely
not. I'm just a monster. That's
all.
It's actually got a lot of cover for the Banshee, sure. However, each side has sniper rifles. 4 shots, Banshee's gone.
Yeah, and they
there's rockets on the map as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of places to get up high, and even if you don't have a jetpack, if the Banshee isn't paying attention, if the pilot's not paying attention, you can board him and skyjack him real easy.
Even so, I mean, there's a lot of good points where you can actually jump off and board the Banshee. You don't even need a jetpack.
Yeah.
That's happened a few times.
The way I feel, and like, I don't know if you guys can tell by the trailers that you've seen, but like, this map feels very, even though there's a lot of varied terrain, it's kind of harkens back to classic Halo maps where it's one base against the other base. The map is asymmetrical, and each base is shaped a little bit differently, but it's classic, like, red versus blue button heads on a kind of a, it's a bigger map, but the bases are actually relatively close together. There's just a lot of obstructions in between, and you have to find a way really around or over top of these obstructions in order to get to the other base.
And that brings up Capture the Flag on that map.
Oh, man. There was
by far one of my favorite crazy games to play.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very great crazy encounter that I recall on that map in CTF, in which both our flags were basically next to each other, connected by this very narrow corridor. And we're running in, like, one at a time, back and forth, back and forth. It was a huge choke point. And we couldn't really recover. I think my team scored it in the end of that, but
of course
it was amazing, intense combat. So there's a lot of open space for open lines of sight, as well as that close quarters feel for
I'm going to suggest
vehicle combat.
The jetpack on that map is going to be your best.
Oh,
friend.
Yes, it is.
Without any doubt. Well, that and maybe, I mean, as much as people might hate me for this, but I'm a little obsessed with the hard light shield, so I'm a little biased towards it. But
to be honest, that was really good on that map, just because I don't know about the jetpack so much, just because there was a lot of little, like, niches you could jump up, and you could really traverse that map pretty quick, even without it almost.
Jetpack just makes it easier, I think, to get from one base to the other, because you can literally hop right over. But
yeah, I use mainly jetpacks, so it's just kind of that second nature thing to me. That's why I use it all the time. But there was quite a few times I saw people using a hard light shield on that map, and it actually proved quite effective because there are certain choke points in the map, like the tunnel underneath the center ridge, and then there's the two kind of tunnel areas that go off either side.
Yeah.
And there's other little things when you're in the bases and a couple other things, like when you're in the cavern and going for the Banshee, where the hard light shield really comes into play.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely.
So it actually took me about 6 games before I even realized there were rockets on the map.
I didn't even... I'm partial to the ghost, so I saw rockets and I saw ghosts, and I'm like, I'm taking the ghost. And I'm actually not allowed to use that anymore.
According to Jess, either.
According to Jess, either. Or I'll be fired, and I don't even work for anybody right now.
So yeah, that that map is also, the aesthetics of it is like I said, harkens back to the original Halo maps where it's very
green grass, blue skies,
gray rocks.
Oh, it's
no
not
pine
quite,
trees.
Not quite green grass. Not quite.
They made it out of the same, but
that's what they said in, like, in their panel. They're just like green grass, blue skies, something traditional, back to the original roots.
No pine trees.
Mm-hmm. No pine trees.
Sorry, fans of pine trees. Pine tree enthusiasts.
There was a couple trees in that though.
Yeah. Just not pine trees.
Yeah.
And then, if we want to keep on the topic of CTF, the game site, they actually had us playing Infinity CTF, which
so fun.
People, I'm sure, are going to have their doubts about being able to call an ordnance in a CTF match. But it honestly works out really well because I learned pretty quick. If you get an ordnance and say you get an ability in your ordnance like speed boost or overshield.
Speed boost is really, really good. Now.
Yeah, even damage boost, call it in right before you grab the flag from the enemy base. With speed boost, you're going to get back really fast. Overshield, it's going to take them a lot to take you out. And damage boost, like 3 shots with the flagnum, and you're going to kill them. So calling in, especially, I highly recommend speed boost. And you can just get out of the enemy base and back really fast.
We did that actually. I did that today. I believe Drax also did that as well.
Yeah.
In actual
I think it was actually
it was very useful.
It was when we were recording behind with Kevin.
Yeah.
And they were doing their little video.
Yeah, he told me after we were done recording, he's like, you called in that speed boost to grab that flag right when we were looking at your screen, and it was like perfect timing.
Because he was talking about it too right then. He's like, oh yeah, pick up, drop it a speed boost, dude. It's a little It's nice. Pretty scary.
It adds a whole new dynamic to CTF.
Which is definitely funny, because I thought he was talking about me at first, because I did the exact same thing.
Yeah. Yep.
So I was a little confused, but it turned out he was looking at Drax's screen.
Yeah.
Well, that's another one of the things that really has changed with the maps that have come out, is the dynamic of Big Team Objective has now been altered because of these maps. Like, mm-hmm. when we already just mentioned the Hardlight Shield from Daybreak, and there's the speed boost now, and that's been really effective on
Outcasts.
To be honest, there was somebody on the Thursday night party who was using Thruster Pack on the map we haven't talked about yet.
I just mentioned it, Outcast.
Yeah. Outcast. Using Thruster Pack on Outcast, and it was extremely effective because it would just Thruster Pack doesn't take long to refill.
Not really, it doesn't. No,
and
especially
around that map where it's some of the little times, it's just literal close quarters. The Thruster Pack, I'm gone.
Yeah, like it's quick to note that there's actually on this map. They're not at each base. They're kitty corner from each base. But there's actually a Wraith and a Mantis that spawn at each base. I believe the Wraith is at closer to red base, and the Mantis is closer to blue base.
Yes, right.
And that makes it seem like two giant powered weapon tank, vehicles on the map, is a little much, right? But this map is, there's so many, like we were saying before, little nooks and crannies and corridors to hide behind. One guy with a plasma pistol, and you're done. Like, you gotta have somebody with you. And, like, unless you have, say you have Thruster Pack, you can easily pop out, throw a grenade at a tank. If it turns around and looks at you, you can just Thruster Pack back in the hallway, and he won't even know where it came from.
You really want to play defensively on this map if you're in a vehicle, because you just want to sit in the corner and you want to defend that spot mm-hmm. as best as you can.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, if you move, there's very porous caves that enemy Spartans can navigate through to get behind your Mantis, get behind your tank. And that'll really give you something to rage about.
And just to kind of reinforce that point, Outcast was probably the map that I played the most at
that,
the party.
That is the one I played the most even. Yeah. I mean, I love Daybreak, mm-hmm. and that is definitely my favorite map out of them, but I agree. That's what I played the most, because I actually had a lot of fun on that map.
Well, so one of the reasons why I think it's one of my favorites, because from that trailer that we saw, we didn't really see much, and I didn't really have high expectations for it.
No, I didn't have it either.
Like,
we
saw barely anything in terms mm-hmm. of just that one corner that we saw that was out in the skybox.
Yeah. There wasn't really a whole lot of the interior shown.
Right. But the games that were played, I saw in some cases where the Mantis was owning everything.
Mm-hmm.
There was cases where the Wraith was owning everything, and then there were cases where it was...
Neither one of them were owned.
Yeah,
crap.
There was a nullified
point where I just actually... I saw a Mantis. I had just gotten out of a firefight. My shields were low, and... I saw this Mantis. I'm like, God damn. I don't need this right now.
Boom!
But what I did was I navigated through a cave, and all of a sudden I'm behind the Mantis. Plasma pistol right in the cockpit. Boom. I'm the winner.
To be honest, that also brings up another one that I had, and it was actually with Drax here.
Yeah, the other team.
You rushed Wraith. I actually died in that fight because I was the one trying to keep you guys from getting it, and I spawned, ran right to the Mantis, got to the Mantis, got two, maybe three kills, and all of a sudden he's behind me, and I die, and a minute later he's blown up, and I don't think there was another... I don't think a Mantis or Wraith was used the rest of the match.
Yeah, literally 2 minutes into the match, both the powered vehicles were gone. And when I killed him in the Mantis too, he told me afterwards that he just barely saw the large triangle waypoint marker on his radar, that he knew that I was coming behind him, but he didn't realize how close I was, and I really wasn't that close. I kind of arced the mortar from the Wraith kind of across the base and hit him in the back of the Mantis and blew him up, and he didn't have any idea where it came from.
It's pretty spacious. I mean, there's corridors where you can go with them, but literally you almost want to hug your bases with those. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're still powerful. The first game I played on that, I went, I think, 16 kills in a row. Honestly, 16 kills in a row without losing it. And all I did was just stand back there. I'm like, oh, look at all these guys rushing for this rocket right here that spawns right near it.
The map is really cool because, we don't want you guys to think, obviously a Wraith and a Mantis both spawn on this map. So they have to be able to at least get from one side of the map to the other. So there's a lot of really open and obviously with the Mantis, really tall areas to walk through too. It's not just all really tight infantry corridors. There's big areas to drive around with the vehicles too. And not just one, there's multiple paths you can take with the vehicles as well.
One thing we are forgetting though, that each base spawns with a laser.
Oh yeah, Spartan Legion.
So I mean, that's something to note too. I mean,
and Rocket's in the middle.
Oh yeah,
Rockets
are kind of near the Menace, so it makes it a little bit.
It's about even mad dash because
Warthogs,
there's a couple times where I was mad dashing to the Rockets, and there's someone else just about as evenly matched up with me. And when we got to the Rockets,
one thing also I really this is about all three. I mean, not a perdition as much, but all of them, like the height, the difference in height, like as you said, you had to arc your shot. I mean, there's like sometimes where I'm one of those people. I love the difference in heights and like actually make it look like natural terrain, and they did a really good job on that.
Yeah, none of these maps are flat by any means.
Perdition. Well, Perdition is more of
the... It's multi-tiered.
There's a lower level and an upper level where the reactor is, but then there's also walkways, catwalks, bridges for the infantry to run around on. I mean, and there's two ghosts on Perdition and the Rocket Hog... And, like, those ghosts spawn so fast, I can't count how many times I've either got splattered or blew up.
I know
ghosts.
How fast those ghosts spawn. I love those things.
Oh, man. I swear you guys were camping those ghost spawns, but whatever.
Maybe a little bit.
I learned where three things were on the maps very, very quickly. Where the Manus was and where both ghosts were on every map.
And I looked out for rockets.
I died to that very, very often, actually. I remember that. And I'd just be like, oh, okay. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, you could probably thank me for that.
Yep. So, Castle 1? Yep, that's Dustin. Castle 2? Oh, that's Drax. Yep, I'm dead.
Actually, me and Drax had this little habit of marking our territory on each account we were at. So you'd see, like, a couple SMGs, a couple Draxes, and maybe an RUL or two.
Oh, yeah, there was one match, I swear, where there was three SMGs on one team and four Draxes on another, and they were all on my team. Yeah. I'm like, which one is the real me? I don't know what's going on.
On the show floor, there's one really, really funny story. So Drax enters the tournament, quote-unquote, that they have for it. Like, it's just... You guys played, I don't remember what map you guys were playing on.
It was Skyline. It was Majestic FFA tournament.
Yeah, but me and SMG go just to play the free. Just because there was nobody in line, so why don't we go play? Now, I'm sitting here, and I look at it, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, Drax is in this game. Wait, are we playing in the tournament? I got so confused. Drax, RUL's, SMG, and I'm like, I literally look over, I'm like, are you any of them? He's like, no.
And it was really funny, because last time I checked, our names are still there, and...
They're still
one of the
there.
Other, yeah, one
no,
of the last
no clear
community
power cycle.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, but still, I mean, it's
but
well, no, actually, they won't because their actual profiles are not temps.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, no, so, they were just they weren't the profiles. It was just the service tags that we
on that profile.
I did a little armor.
Their actual profiles
and emblem work.
So they actually might stay. They might.
Yeah, it's just kind of cool that they have it from day to day to day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was really cool. One of the other Halo community members we met up with said, "Wait. I saw SMG on when I was playing the castle maps." I'm like, "Yeah, are you that SMG?" "Yeah, I'm that SMG."
Yeah, that was Molten, right? So that was
Molten
Slaw. Yeah.
Yeah. The just back onto the party there. I mean, even just the castle map picks, it's just really nice to actually have I'm not looking for it here.
So they said it's very vehicle centric.
Well,
they focus on a lot of vehicle stuff. There's a lot of good.
Definitely
team
not like the last
that,
map pack. Definitely not.
Yeah.
These maps are really nice.
Some of my favorites.
I could see, I mean, I don't know what the forged set is for these maps, but maybe especially something like Perdition, I could definitely see somebody forging and like sectioning off parts of Perdition and making a smaller map out of it for customs.
I could see some infection.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too, we touched on, that we actually talked to Tom Potter about after the panel the other night, the other day. He has not seen Infection played, he says, on any of these maps, and
he works for
Certain Affinity, the company that made them.
So it'd be really cool to see you guys, the general Halo community, can create, because there are really cool opportunities I can see with these maps.
That's what I was talking about. I wasn't actually even talking about the maps. I was just talking about the party in general. Like, just it's really awesome that 343 will give back to, like, they want us to love this game just as much as they love this game, and they really show it.
Oh,
they're
without a doubt.
Ridiculously appreciative. Yeah.
And they do honestly take our criticisms, and they do listen to what we like and what we dislike. And that was clear talking with each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they actually agree with us on a lot of the, on a lot of points. And that just goes to show you, they really are listening to you. As much as, you know, you...
Especially with the new announcement of Forge Island that they're
getting. Yeah. Exactly. That was very much a fan service. Mm-hmm. And it's free. And that... Absolutely. You don't get that often in this day and age of DLC and...
Money, 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 money.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's really refreshing to have a company really out for the fans. And, I mean, there are other companies that do the same. And a lot of gaming companies will do the same, in fact. But... at least my experiences with 343 have been...
Nothing but positive.
Exactly.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't think this entire weekend I have met a single 343 employee that didn't have a smile on their face and wasn't warm and welcoming and it, more so, not that the rest of the devs at the convention aren't, but like for some 343 just, I don't know, there's just something about the people that work for that company that just bring people in that you can tell that they really, really, really care about their community and what they have to say.
Right. They wanted to talk to us. They wanted to hear what we had to say. Yeah. And
honestly, the first question I was asked was, what don't you like about this map?
Exactly. And we learned that, you know, it really does help to criticize because that's how they learn.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, some things don't make sense, but some things really do make sense. And there's some truth to some fallacies as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I don't need to cut you off, but I don't remember who said this, but just to help out with that. I don't remember who made the analogy, but you can't make a diamond without pressure.
Oh, that was me, yeah.
That was great with me. Sorry about that.
Yeah, basically, you know, you apply pressure and a lot of heat to coal, and it becomes a diamond. And if you don't put the pressure on the devs to create something beautiful and something awesome, then you're just going to end up with a piece of coal, and nobody wants that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what without a doubt.
Just gives it out.
Yeah.
So I mean, like I know I already said it before, but I mean, this we love 343, but this is a shout out to Certain Affinity for all that they've done in the past, but for this map pack in particular right now, you know, from a guy that's been playing Halo since the beginning, these maps are just awesome. I mean, I have no other word that I can use that I can think of, but these maps are so much fun, and I really can't wait until we see Big Team Objective in matchmaking because.
Yep.
It's going to remind me of playing Halo 2 and Halo 3 Big Team Matchmaking, and I'm just going to feel like a kid again, and it's going to be a blast.
I second that.
Oh, yeah. So, they definitely took that all into account when they made these maps, and it definitely shows.
So, I should emphasize, though, there generally is no reason to be rude to developers. I know a lot of people get very vocal sometimes, but the fact is they are listening to you, even those that are very vocal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the fact is, you know, sometimes it's hard to put a face on a company. I understand that, but from RUL, we very much value respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, and it came from us, they really appreciated how respectful we were and feedback we could provide. Because it helps get your point across in a clear manner. You can't just say, we don't like this, we don't like this, we don't like this, but why don't you like that? Yeah. Because they can't fix it if they don't know why.
Yeah, right.
So all those feedback that you give on the Waypoint forums or anything, they are listening.
Yeah.
So definitely
they are watching.
Yeah. Definitely keep providing feedback because they do have the community's best interests at heart. Before we go on to too many more tangents, I want to kind of focus on actual what we think about the maps in particular.
Incredible.
Which one do we want to talk about right now, real quick?
So which one do we want to talk about first?
Let's start with your personal favorite there.
Okay, so my personal favorite is Outcast.
Which it's really tough between Outcast and Daybreak for me.
Yeah, I, you know, now in retrospect, I feel the same way.
They're both just so good.
Especially after today's filming on Outcast, I had such a good game. I mean, I think I went 9-2, I scored 2 flags, and I was very proud of myself because it was filmed, because I was very concerned of making a bad impression on film.
Yeah.
Sorry, I did that with my 8-12.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
7-10.
I don't even know what my score was. I didn't care. You guys were on the other team. You probably kicked the crap out of me, but whatever.
I know.
You're the only flag cap for our team, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Outcast.
So let's talk about Outcast. Let's talk about kind of the general layout of Outcast. So it's kind of like cavernous in a way, where there's lots of little places where you can get in and out of.
There's an open side. I like to say that blue base is like the closed side of the map, like the cavern side, and then the red base is definitely the open cliff side.
A little bit more open, and you can see out.
And they mentioned in the panel that the map is actually the bases that you're in are not UNSC; they're actually insurrectionist. It's an insurrectionist mining facility, and they're hidden. They're trying to hide from the UNSC. Every building, every structure that's in this map is either inside these caves or they're tucked in against the walls, underneath overhangs and things like that, so that passing ships couldn't see them. And I didn't really take a whole lot of time to take and look at the skybox from what the concept art that we were shown looks like. When this map pack comes out, I'm definitely going to go and look at that skybox because it looks like something out of the movie Armageddon.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's phenomenal looking. It's beautiful. The ambient noise, because I stood still for a second, is just crazy awesome, too.
Yeah, it's supposed to be an untouched world, never discovered by the Covenant. It's on the outskirts of human-controlled space.
Yeah.
It's actually like a gas mining facility, too.
Yes, something like that.
Yeah, it looks like there's like a ringed planet, I think. I think it's a ringed planet.
I think Saturn-type planet.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
It almost seems like you have the Mantis to the north and the upper scale of the map, and then you have the Wraith down low. As we said before, the two Spartan lasers in each.
They literally spawn, like, almost right next to each enemy vehicle like that. The Spartan laser, at least I know, because I was on red team, like, almost every time.
I was on red team quite a bit as well.
Yeah, the Spartan laser literally spawns probably, what, not even 50, maybe 50 yards from the Wraith, and you can literally see it.
You get to it before you get to the vehicles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As actually another thing they were saying, though, is on this map, if you're going to go after a vehicle, you better have a double, because, to be honest, most of the times it's going to be 2v2, and don't rush it for that Wraith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the Spartan laser that spawns at red base is actually, it's like right on the edge of the cliff. And so when you're rushing for that thing, don't go too far, otherwise you're going to fall off. I've actually seen somebody do that. They went a little too far, and they knew they were being chased by an enemy, and they literally ran right off the map.
I think I almost did that going for the Spartan laser.
Yeah.
I freaked out a little bit. It's like, oh no.
I don't want to fall into the pit of death.
I can't do this.
Which is a staple in Halo, you know, pits of death everywhere.
So what do you guys think of the multiple pathways throughout the entire map?
I love it.
That's one of the reasons why I like that map, because it allows for a lot of
dynamic options.
It's a little daunting at first, because, I mean, you literally probably could, I mean...
Get lost?
You get lost in that map.
Oh, yeah. It's easy to get lost.
You can
get turned around
pretty quick. That's why CTF was kind of nice, because you have the waypoints of, like, where each flag is, so you can know where each base is. But if you're playing straight Slayer... I didn't really pay attention to the lighting at all, because sometimes they use lights to determine which base is where. The darker side of the map is blue base, and the brighter side of the map is red base. But you could very easily, in these inner tunnels, forget which way you were going if you get into a firefight, because these tunnels they look very similar no matter where you go.
And there's a ton of cover around those porous caves as well. There was a point when we were playing CTF in which I was pinned down, and I was about to die, in fact, and the other guy had an advantage on me. I managed to duck behind some cover, swing around, and take him out.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah, exactly. So you can very much use the terrain and the scenery on this map to your advantage. Even if you're at a current disadvantage, you can use, if you're creative, you can use that to the scenery to your own advantage too.
Yeah, I predict a lot of distraction metals coming from these maps, especially Outcast.
To be honest, another thing is really cool is I tried to be smart. I'm like, oh, these guys are going through this. I'll use Promethean Vision. It doesn't really help, guys. It really doesn't. Because they can be coming like, oh, yeah, they're coming straight at me, and they're taking a right, and all of a sudden you're like, wait. All of a sudden it curves back to the left, and now they're on your left side. And it's like, really?
Yeah, the tunnels aren't just... straight shots. They turn and twist, and I think a couple of them even fork. Like, you can actually go left or right instead of, so it's kind of hard to predict enemy movement, and it you really have to be on your toes with these maps, which is really nice.
It makes flag runs really interesting too.
Oh my gosh,
multiple pathways that people can take.
Oh yeah,
it's like you try to cut cut someone off in one direction, but then they take in a completely other direction that...
Oh, I out-
that happens so
I
many times.
I paid attention to my radar that like, actually, when we were playing that match, when I, you know, when I was being filmed and Kevin was commentating on it, when I had speed boost, I saw some enemy on my radar, and I knew he was trying, I was watching him on my motion tracker, and he was gonna ambush me at the next opening. And so I decided to stop, and I juked him out, and I went right behind him, and he turned around and didn't know what happened. And I went right past him.
Yeah.
So.
The Warthog was good for CTF on that map as well. It was underutilized, in my opinion. A lot of people didn't really utilize the Warthog.
I don't know.
In which case, I just went solo, picked up the first teammate I could, we ran to the base.
yeah, you capped the first one like a minute.
Yeah, like a minute. it was pretty cool. It wasn't bad. I think it caught a lot of the team off guard because
it's a lot more maneuverable than like the Mantis or the Wraith in those tunnels. And
you'd think you'd want to go for the heavy vehicles, but honestly, the standard Warthog might be your best friend on this map.
And there's actually a mongoose at
there
each base too.
Ghost. There is one. I don't think there's two. I think there's only one.
Isn't there a ghost like in the middle? I never used it. Isn't there a ghost?
I use it a lot.
I
know there's a ghost, but I don't think there's. I think there's only one.
Yeah, it makes sense because I didn't see it too much. But yeah, I mean the mongoose, if utilized in combination with the Warthog, if utilized right, I mean if you kind of want to use, I don't know if anyone's ever seen Saving Private Ryan, but when they use the little motorcycle as distraction for the enemy tanks, like use the mongoose to drive through the enemy base, like they think you're going to cap it, and have the Warthog come up and actually grab it and get out of there.
That's a good idea. We got to remember that.
And now we just told the entire world that of our strategy.
Oh, no.
You better not be listening to BTV.
So the only two game types that were really played on that map were Slayer, and that was very little, or Capture the Flag.
I actually got lucky enough to play multi-team on that map.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Multi-team was a lot of fun.
Multi-team was a lot of fun.
Position.
I think it's a little bit more intimidating, though, not because it is six teams of two.
I will say, multi-team was a lot of fun on Perdition. Perdition's a great map for multi-team.
It really is. I have to agree with that. That was a lot of fun. I did notice some issues, not to be, like, you know, objectively critical, but... subjectively?
Spawning,
I spawned away from my teammate, like, really far away from my teammate a lot. I mean, I know that's kind of how multi-team has worked in the past, but it really seemed like I was on SMG's team a lot for the first few multi-team matches that we played, and I had trouble keeping up with where he was all the time. Like,
you know. Yeah, I felt like he was close at times, but I couldn't really find him.
Yeah,
and there was points where I'm looking for him, and all of a sudden I realized, oh wait, we're both attacking the same enemy. I didn't even realize he was there.
Yeah, I had a little bit of an incident with it where I just kept spawning in the same spot. Like,
over
legitimately, the same spot
over
and over. But the thing is, though, is I'd spawn, I'd literally walk, like, 5 feet, get in the same firefight I just left with, actually, some of the people from one of our...
What?
The people we met from Big Team Battle, actually, and I'd fight the same person, and I'd get destroyed again, and spawn again in the same spot.
That's always been a kind of an issue with multi-team, is you can kind of get spawn-trapped pretty easily with so many teams on the map, and
with
then
so many people
spawn
dying.
Zones... You can get spawn trapped pretty easily, which, I mean, it's not spawn trapped because you're getting spawn killed, but you'll literally spawn on the same respawn point, like, over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, it just gets kind of annoying.
Yeah, it didn't really cause any significant issues.
It's still enjoyable.
It was very minor at that.
Yeah. It's not a big, you know, not a big criticism, just a little...
And people are pretty mobile on this map, so... even if you do spawn in the same spot a lot, it's not like you're always going to be killed right away.
Yeah.
You just might die on the other side of the map and respawn where you were last time.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile, you say right. Mobility is good on this map? I mean,
mobility worked for me on this map really well.
Live in the sprint? Yeah.
Actually,
all
Ordnance
maps, all
was
maps,
my best
really.
Friend
oh,
on these
yeah.
maps, too.
Or if you're playing in Infinity.
Well, in multi-team.
Yeah.
The Ordnance was my best friend. I used Requisition and, I can't think of the
name of the other one.
Ordnance Drop or something.
Ordnance
Priority.
Ordnance Priority and Requisition.
That really worked well. I was trying to, you know, be creative with different loadouts and whatnot, and then I decided, let's just see how the Ordnance works. You know, getting a different selection of weapons so frequently actually really helped on this map, especially if you were caught in an open area.
Yeah.
And you needed something quickly.
I don't remember seeing it on any other map when we were playing Infinity, but I will say that there's definitely wait for the incineration cannon on Daybreak, because I know somebody called it in because I killed them when they had it, and we were playing Infinity CTF. So there's definitely, you can definitely call in an incineration cannon on that map.
I had the incineration cannon, and I think you actually killed me. So,
maybe.
That's a strange turn of fate, I believe.
No, that sounds about how it happened, so it was probably me getting killed.
So let's talk about Perdition, then.
Yeah.
One more
if we're going to move on to that, Perdition.
We were just talking about Outcast.
Yeah,
we kind of merged, we went on some tangents.
So that one was mostly Slayer from what I played.
Not much CTF.
I don't believe I played CTF on that map.
We played Extraction on it, though, too.
We did. Extraction worked on that one map.
So yeah, we dabbled around with the settings a little bit when it was just a few of us playing, and we did King of the Hill, we did Extraction, we did FFA, we did Infinity Rumble.
King of the Hill was fun.
FFA on that was King actually was crazy.
Yeah, King of the Hill was crazy and crazy fun. A lot of fun.
Oh,
yeah.
We got our...
There's
a cake.
We didn't stand a chance at that. We were always at the hill, but we could not get time.
It doesn't help about the open bar either.
Well, the other teams.
I know, it's kind of like a bomber's peak for like 2.5 hours, 3 hours.
I don't know. Other team was a little stacked, to be honest. I mean, yeah, the people from,
let's not name names. We don't want to talk about other people when they're drunk.
No, I'm just saying the other team was stacked. Like, awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
We had,
hey, we're pretty awesome. I mean, we say that all the time. Welcome to the awesome, right?
I put the team on my back, dude.
Anyway, I remember.
Let's
that
just say this. I'd say the problem with King of the Hill on that map, even in general, if you're playing, you know, just RBB on that map, is that the other team can get on you. Even though these maps are pretty big, they can get on you pretty quick. Especially if there's a neutral objective like King of the Hill that you're going for, or a flag down in the middle of the map. That you're trying to, you know, re-grab, the other team's going to be on you fast, real fast, numbers.
You can cut through the maps really quick. Like, these are large maps, but you flow pretty quickly through them.
Yeah.
Like, using Outcast, for example, you can get from point A to point B pretty fast.
Yeah.
And then, especially Perdition, I mean, the one thing that I had the only thing I really had a problem with is, like, there, I think there was one certain room that once it got in there, if somebody got
the hill. You're talking about the hill?
Yeah,
talking
about the hill.
The D hill.
D hill. Yes. Oh.
The Delta hill.
Yeah, because that's the one you guys, we got this, we're not getting this one.
Four entrances on top and the one ramp on the bottom.
Yeah, but then it's got like kind of, like wide pillars at each side.
And if you walk in the door, you're not in there either. It's like you have to walk in the door and you have to get farther in.
Yeah. The hill doesn't take up the entire
room. Oh, that was a fun hill for me. That was a really fun hill for me.
Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's unbalanced or anything. It's just, that was the one that was like.
Just gives me the most frustration.
You have to, you really have to, be honest, on these maps, you really need to work with your team if you're going to play
Kingdom. Yeah. I mean, you gotta learn how to hold certain sections of the map really well. You know, as much as people want to go out and just slay the entire match, if
you're not gonna do anything if you try to.
Yeah, you need to hold specific sections of Perdition. Yeah. I really feel like, you know, because if you don't, like I said, these maps are so big. There's so many ways to get around. You're gonna get flanked like hard.
The other
ones that happened a lot in my first couple games.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, it just caught me off guard. I was trying to play him, like, you know, a standard Halo map,
all
you know,
we were doing.
Where it seems almost like this predictable...
rush the enemy in the middle and kill him.
Exactly. It wasn't like that. I mean, I pretty close to the beginning of the game, even, I mean, people were up and behind me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the things that most competitive Halo really focuses on is map flow and weapon control. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like they kind of tweak that a little bit to where it's a little more unpredictable now of knowing where people are going to be coming from.
Which is really good.
It keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
Like, it really does. Like, you can't just, you're not going to get comfortable. If you get comfortable, you're going
to
lose.
To be honest, you could bring back that whole example of, like, they haven't played Flood on that. I see myself almost literally pissing my pants playing Outcast. Because,
Flood.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to be, like, walking with a shotgun.
Outcast
and
is going to be crazy for Flood.
From the side.
It looks, with the brown rock on the map, you can almost pretend that it's a flood-infected, barren area.
Yeah, deserted, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, back to prediction. Sorry.
Well, I do want to mention that one funny story of you and me.
Uh-oh, what did I do now?
I shot you and the ghost.
Oh, my gosh.
So there was this one time we were on the same team.
The first game we played together, actually.
Was it the first game?
It was the first game we played together. We didn't even know each other. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting next to this guy who's got the same name as me, and I'm on like a 6-7 killing streak with the ghost.
With the
and
ghost.
I'm like, yeah! Yeah, and all of a sudden, I pull in front of Dustin here, who shoots the fusion coil that's right next to me and blows us both
sky
high.
I shoot the fuel cell on the ghost.
Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
The gray fuel cell.
No, that was, I was shooting somebody.
I think I got
killed
because you did that, too, because my ghost explosion got somebody.
So I was shooting somebody. I got somebody, and I was going for another person that was down there. And then you came right as I pulled the trigger, I think, on the third or fourth bullet in my sniper rifle. And we both blew up.
Why does all the cool stuff happen when you're not on your Xbox? You know what I mean? Or your account?
I'm looking at it going,
I'm turning to look around for Jess. It's like, can I get this film, please?
it was really good. And it wasn't like you were blindfired. You were zoomed in, too.
Yeah,
like,
I was zoomed in.
Perfect.
It's like, so I wish I had that to send into, like, Richard Feet for Fails of the Week or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
That would have been awesome. Like, that's something that you can't recreate.
One fuel cell sniping explosion. Let's add a new stat.
I think we should note the panel. They talked about one of the best Halo statistics I've ever heard in my entire life. Actually, we have the exact wording because that makes it better.
We have one Mantis annihilating Spartan vaporizing ball of death pulse grenade
kill.
I actually tweeted and posted that picture on Facebook because that was like one of the most fantastic.
I'm probably going to spend a good with a guest in Forge or in a custom game trying to recreate that for like 2 days. I'm going to like try and make that happen again.
And if you guys don't know what we're talking about yet,
go watch
the panel. It's absolutely
hilarious.
One of the hilarious things you'll ever see in your life.
But to sum it up, basically, Spartan boards an enemy Mantis. Drops a pulse grenade into the Mantis. The pulse grenade detonates, the Mantis blows up, but the Spartan is spinning within the orb of the pulse grenade, just rotating, and all of a sudden he stops spinning and he just vaporizes.
The pulse grenade
does its final blow.
Yeah, the pulse grenade does its implode, and then the Spartan vaporizes and falls to the ground.
It's really, really...
It was so funny. You really have to see it.
Yeah.
We're going to try to upgrade that statistic to...
Yeah,
or more. Try. We have to do it in matchmaking, though. You can't do it in customs.
Yeah, we got to try to do it in matchmaking.
Got to do it in matchmaking.
Yes, for sure. If you've never had a reason to use the pulse grenades.
We should probably get back onto those maps.
So back to the prediction. Most of the stuff that we played on it, like I said earlier, was Slayer.
The extraction game was fun.
The extraction game was fun. The King of the Hill was amazing. We played that, three or four times.
We got our... Butts whooped on that, but you know what?
I was on the winning team.
I had a really good time.
I had a lot of fun.
You know
what?
Actually, the hills that I had the most.
Yes, blame Dustin. Thank you.
You don't have to blame.
Which one?
For King.
We love you, Rebel.
Which Dustin?
Deathstorm. Blame Deathstorm. Sorry.
The ones that I had the most fun on the King of the Hill were the ones that were underneath the walkways because they were so small and like it's like, oh, I got in this corner, I'm back here, and all of a sudden. Oh, I'm flanked by like five people, and I didn't even know they were
going back to flanking. I said,
and before, Perdition is the only one that has a hammer spawn on one of the ordnance.
Oh, you call it a hammer?
Oh, so there were two games where at the very end I picked up the hammer. I think.
I remember raging at you. I'm like, which one of you sons of beep got the hammer? Oh my god!
I think I killed you for the winning kill of that game too.
don't say that. So
Drax and I were kind of tit for tat back and forth. I think he was more or less the player of the night between the four of us here in the room.
I
called him out as my nemesis at the end of the night. I'm like, you're my nemesis from now on.
It was a very good night, and
you ate my plasma grenades a lot though too.
Yeah,
Screw your plasma grenades.
Stick.
Yeah, I would go up to kill this guy, and then it's like, oh,
I'm
this again.
I'm gonna get the headshot on Drax. Oh, wait, there's a blue thing in my face.
I just crossed.
That, happened that, one,
that was funny.
Didn't that happen that one time I got you with the sword? And then you stuck me, or was that someone else?
That was me.
That was you?
That, yeah.
Oh, that was you.
Dude, I am known.
Yeah, I've known Mickey since.
As the Sticky Master?
For years, and I've seen this guy pull off some of the craziest sticks I've ever seen in Halo, like, ever.
Halo 2 lockout from corner to corner.
Well, actually, the one I was thinking of was on Jess. I sorted Jess, and she got me back with the sticky.
Oh,
yes. Did she really?
Yeah.
That last
and then she
sticky.
Still was like, yeah, take that. She gave me that little snarky
oh,
look.
Oh, she
like,
was so
she did do that. I killed
she
her.
Is.
Every time she gets a kill, it. She has to rub it in someone's
she's
face.
She's like, oh, yeah.
Well,
it was
then,
awesome.
And then I wrecked her with the railgun in one game. I completely... I wrecked a couple of you guys with the railgun in one game.
Dude, I literally see blue dot.
I don't remember
I'm literally yelling at the room. It's like, whenever I get railgun, I'm like... Railgun, get ready to die.
Oh, man. The one thing that I did love about, actually, the fact that it was the 2 hours, because there was, like, nobody there, we could be, like, we were just sitting there, like, quietly staring at the screen. Some of it we were when we were actually concentrating. But all of a sudden, like, out of nowhere, you just hear, oh! And everybody's flipping out, except for the people from...
The other team never dying
yeah.
over
yeah.
and over again.
I do remember killing Jess at one point. I don't think it was anything like special or whatnot, but she just looks at me. He's like,
it's Jess.
Hey,
every time it is
yeah.
special.
Yeah. Again, the snarky look. But
she has that nail, that look nailed
she does,
down.
Like,
it's like
feel guilty
instills,
a little bit too.
It's like instills fear in you because it's like you know. If you
oh
piss,
no. Oh okay.
You know if you piss her off, you are screwed.
Yeah, it's like uh oh.
It's like
trouble.
Okay.
I know your gamer tag.
Exactly.
Knows
banned.
Again?
Banned, fired, and everything else.
yeah, my life is over.
Alright, so, the third map.
Real quick, before I get
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, he's got some secret stuff.
The Infinity Rumble. On
oh.
Perdition.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I don't
yeah,
think
yeah.
I played that one.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that,
you,
was that
you
on
raised,
Thursday?
All, you raised quite a bit. Yeah, on Thursday. You raised quite a bit.
Free Fall Infinity.
Yeah.
Your Fallen Infinity.
Yeah.
Oh,
we
yeah.
played.
Well, I'm sorry.
So that wasn't in the regular rotation either. Was Extraction or King of the Hill? But I loaded it up. I think when we were playing the 8 when it was cut down to that row of consoles.
Oh yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. It was after I. Had, never mind.
Because that's when I picked up the hammer and I smashed you for that one.
Yeah.
No. Stop talking.
So if you ever want to beat Drax, just bring a hammer.
So I think this map, Perdition.
Never bring a hammer to a gunfight. You'll lose.
I think
obviously
map,
not.
Apparently not. Okay, to be fair, he killed me from behind, okay?
That's what you always say, though.
Right. You didn't see it.
Anyway.
It didn't happen. It was all a lag, right?
Notice that I'm not the one
yeah,
looking at your
I'm,
face anymore. It's,
they're
it's
not
those
a part
two.
Of this podcast anymore, so let's just continue.
let's just do knock it down to 2Ds and that's...
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah double Ds.
Double
there
Ds.
We go.
Oh, jeez, no. There's triples.
So I think this... One,
you can have a double
Perdition,
D's without an S, though.
And then
oh.
Dave.
It's plural, right?
All right.
That was a good one.
That was all SMG90, just so everyone knows right now.
You can send your rage tweets to him at SMG90 on Twitter. see, I do know your Twitters. I think Perdition and Daybreak are the only two maps that really allow for the FFA gameplay as well. And
yeah.
It actually kind of fits all right.
I don't know if I...
Even though these are really more big team maps, I had a lot of fun with the 8-player free-for-all on Perdition.
Perdition,
yeah,
yes.
Too.
Well, look at that same thing with multi-team. I don't know. It's just that the multiple people killing each other. It's not just red versus blue. It's like you go into a fight and there's people already fighting each other and you could kill both of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's... You know, you don't really got to hold back at all.
It was great, yeah. I would come out of a spawn and I would just... walk upwards, and I would see two guys fighting, and I'd have a sight line on them. They just would be totally distracted, and I'd either pick one or both of them off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've even seen you know a massive cluster of Spartans fighting together, and they have
yeah.
no they don't know I'm there, and I could just kind of pick them all off.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you brought up something about Daybreak being the free for all map, and I'm sorry, this is the one thing that I will probably end up being the black sheep about. I don't know if I really, I only got to play it a little bit, but the Daybreak free-for-all, I don't know. It felt very cluttered almost to me. Like, it didn't feel like there was, like, Perdition, it feels like you could actually have the spawns for the multi-team or the free-for-all. Daybreak, actually, I think multi-team would be fine, but free-for-all, I just don't know if it, I feel like, it feels like certain spawns are going to be a little bit more overpowered than others. Like going back to like almost Halo Reach where you'd be like, oh man, I got red spawn and I got this. And like, I don't know. That was the only one I didn't really, I played a little bit of it. I mean, I need to play some more of it to actually get a better feel for it, but that was the only one I was a little iffy about.
I think in terms of size, it works well, but like you said,
size, yes, but
in terms of like the gameplay stuff, it does need to be tested a little bit more.
Maybe the spawning tweaked, or just maybe like, I mean, because you know they can always change out like what's in there, and like maybe having somebody spawn, because you don't want to have somebody spawn down your Banshee. Like, oh, I got Banshee. Well,
free for all. They don't. I don't think the Banshee spawns free for all, does it?
We don't know yet.
I can't remember.
I think it was there.
I don't think I think I played like one game of free
for all. It was there. Because wasn't that the.
No, that was a team game, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we played that one that much.
I don't think
you're the black sheep on that one. I think that's kind of...
Okay, I wasn't sure, because I know that's fair. I think we all like that map, but it's just, that one feels a little...
It's fun, but it's just not, it could be better, I think.
CTF on that map, I honestly think that Infection is going to be really fun on that map. I can
picture zombies flying off that map like crazy. It's going to be funny.
Yeah. Okay. Extraction would be actually really fun on that map. I think.
Maybe. I don't know. What's the last one? We weren't actually supposed to be playing Daybreak.
Dominion is not on Daybreak.
Oh, Dominion's not on that?
It's only on Outcast.
Yeah, Outcast was actually designed to be a Dominion map from what I got that's what Tom said. They originally designed it with Dominion in mind when they designed that map.
That's what I think he said that during the panel.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, we didn't do that. We didn't play Dominion on that map because we didn't know at that point.
And by the time we got to that point where we were just down to those 8 consoles and we were a little more free reign on what we could do.
Yeah.
Dominion on 4v4 for that big of a map just
didn't seem possible. Yeah, maybe if we could have done an 8-on-8, we probably would have. But
right. Or even maybe 6-on-6.
Actually, something else.
That's something that would be really fun. 8-on-8
would be crazy, though.
That would be fun.
On that map?
We might have to do a little bit of collab on that one, try it out, I think.
Yeah.
But one thing also that
Extraction would be interesting on that one, too. Multi-team extraction.
Multi-team extraction?
Do 4-on-4-on-4.
Oh my gosh.
2-sight?
Wow.
That
could be very
interesting. That might be interesting.
We need to look into doing that for the next 30 Wall Night, I say.
I agree.
Yeah.
There you go, guys.
Probably do that for a Wacky Wednesday for Podtacular as well.
Yeah. Well, we might just join you on that one. One thing, though, that I do have to actually mention, I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was, we were only supposed to demo 2 of those maps. We were not supposed to play one of the maps. They were supposed to be exclusive for the PAX 4, and you didn't hear about this, did you?
Yeah, no.
One of
the developers. It wasn't Tom. It was another one of the guys. He came up to, we're like, oh, yeah, isn't there a third map? He's like, yeah, it's this one.
But we're supposed to be showing that on Sunday.
But that's exclusive for...
Sunday.
It wasn't Sunday. It was for the PAX.
For the panel.
They were going to debut it.
Debut it on Sunday at PAX. Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we just turned to Jess, and we asked her, and she's like, oh, you guys want to play some Daybreak? And we're like, yeah.
Yes. Daybreak was the map that we were talking about. Yeah, yes, we must play. And
I didn't even know there was a restriction.
Daybreak was the one map we were not supposed to play.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal.
When I hit the hot seat, I'm just like, what do you guys want to do? And then they just turned it over to a map. I didn't even know there was a restriction.
I still remember, what were we playing on? We ended up messing around, not even on the castle map, actually. What were we playing on Haven that was Extraction?
They played Extraction.
Oh yeah, we played Extraction on Haven.
That was weird.
Yeah,
we dabbed around on some of the other maps.
Just to have a good time.
Yeah, we just change it up a little bit because we can't do much with 4v4.
Yeah, we also got to play with Bravo. We got to play with
and you wrecked face whenever he was
Goose Shaka and Cal from Grim Ballhub.
Which those guys were actually, when they were there, they were kind of quiet. Like, they were talkative, but they were definitely not us.
I think Goose was hiding her excitement because she won that Vanguard case.
Oh my!
Oh my! So just so you guys know, I am the lucky winner of the Vanguard case. I got pulled in the raffle, And I was the first one to walk in the door, and Drax is very upset with me because
I was right behind him, and they called his number, and if he had been behind me, I would have won it.
So. And we will also mention that our other Dustin in the panel, D-Storm, also our Duststorm. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
It is also what time is
he was right behind Goose Jekka, and she won. So just goes, yeah. You know, just figures, you know, but. It's all right.
Sometimes it's better be lucky than good.
It's all right though, because mixed.
Well, and you got.
Oh, then also oh I go on. Then I also go out on the show floor, and they're demoing Halo. They're demoing. Well,
Dance Central.
Let's explain it. All right. So we have to get these five pins. So me and SMG pretty much did all this together. We're together simultaneously.
We wanted to like do it, finish together, basically.
And we got if you got five pins, you got a exclusive poster. First 100 got a free month subscription to Xbox Live, which was really cool. And then the first person who got it done got a framed professional copy, and I think it actually has autographs on it.
Oh.
I think it has the autograph, the artist. But we play the Halo one, we get done, and we're like, wow, we have to go play Dance Central. So we're going to recreate it tomorrow to put it up on a video for some people.
Oh, man.
We did Gangnam Style.
Yeah,
but we did it, and it was actually very entertaining.
It was a lot of fun.
That swag bag that we got from that has been my favorite thing these entire
time. Yeah, honestly, it's been great because I just put all my stuff in that. You know, it's got a water bottle and
duffel bag, and so we get done with that. We go through all of them, and I was playing. I was demoing. I don't remember what you were demoing. I was demoing some World Series of Poker game that they have coming out soon, which actually was they did a very good job. It was like pre-beta, I think, and they did it
fun. But, yeah, and then like he waited around a while for the pin, couldn't find anybody.
I was asking the guy, I'm like, yeah, I think I might be the first one. He's like, let me go see what I can do. He comes back with the pin. Yeah. I walk around the corner, like, and then I don't know what her name was, but she comes out of the booth, and this one guy goes, we finally have it, and she goes, oh my god, we have our first one. I'm like,
you are way too excited, girl.
I'm like, it is like 10 a.m. in the morning, I have not had a cup of coffee yet, and you are way too hype right now.
it was funny, because I actually go to get my pin. I tell him, I'm going to go get my pin. I'm going to ask this dev over here if I can get a pin. And he says, I'm going to do the same. He asks another dev. It just so happens, it turns into like a race at this point, who can get the pin the fastest. It just so happens, I ended up in a conversation with him, and it was great.
I was in a conversation too, but we were in the conversation before I had him go get the pin.
Yeah, so a little delay on my part, but I wasn't even that far behind him. I was like 30 seconds behind him.
Like
maybe.
You walked over right when they're like, yeah, he's the first.
Oh man, are you serious?
So
that's funny.
I can't handle being number two right now, especially after the Vanguard case.
I'm sorry, man,
you're number two next to a non-staffer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I think honestly that was my swift kick in the butt to go, Dustin. Yeah, maybe you need to go for some staff and try to actually do something. So I mean,
luck was on your side this weekend. You know, like full out special.
All right, I don't mean to hog
level 10.
I do not mean to hog the mic, but that is something actually I want to touch on a little bit. And that is, I do want to say thanks, Dre. Thank Drax here. I would not have been able to go to the RUL party had I not got. He asked about bringing a guest, like a plus one, and I actually got the invite. I'm also these guys that I'm hanging out with that I've gotten the amazing opportunity to hang out with and learn and just grow as a community member. This is something I brought up with them, and they're like, Dustin, shut up. I'm just a quote-unquote regular member. These guys are all, like, the people who are head staff, and they own it, like, and they own the entire website, or they're the high people that everybody goes to. And I was still treated with the same respect that anybody else would be, and I want to thank all of you guys for that. And it really meant a lot to me.
You're welcome, but if you hug me, I'm going to slap you.
Can I kiss your cheek?
You are sleeping on the other side of the hotel room tonight. But I should bring that up. I mean, with RUL, we value everybody on the community, and we don't see anybody as above or below ourselves.
Oh, yeah, we value everybody the same.
And we might help to keep the site...
It's for every community.
Yeah, the Halo community in general. We might help to keep the site running, but honestly, without the community, we wouldn't have a position or any meaning to what we do. And
be flipping burgers.
That, you know, it really puts things in perspective, you know. I can see how 343 feels, because without us, the Halo community, where are they going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we really, really do love the RUL community, every single one of them.
The Halo community as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're all the same. We're all cut from the same stone. We all love Halo. As many communities as there are out there, we're all the same. We all have a passion for Halo.
I only really, I'm a member of RUL. I mean, Drax asked me to join it one day randomly. I was like, oh, whatever. And then I joined it, and I realized there's some really cool people out there. And I've actually gotten – I had never met SMG. I played with him a couple times, but I never really talked to him. I got here, and, dude, this guy's awesome. But it's also – I didn't
– Again, don't hug me or –
Tag, why can't
I'll give you a hug. All right, PodTac will be the hugging community
for
that.
We'll do that later. But but the thing is, I didn't realize...
The look on Drax's face was priceless.
He's like, don't encourage him.
I'm gonna go sleep in my car.
Oh, you know you enjoy it, you big stubby man.
I'll get up and leave right now.
But I didn't realize how big the Halo community. Like, I always look at them like, oh yeah, there's a couple little websites, but now all of a sudden it's like, wow, there's something a lot bigger than I never got to see. And to be honest, actually, this is actually the first time that I have actually used my Twitter, and I am actually now completely addicted to it. I'm not that good at it yet. And it's a lot of retweets, and I'm just gonna save this and favorite it, and that's pretty much it at this point. I do a little bit, but
so you're using Twitter to stalk people? Welcome to Twitter.
you can always already do that on Facebook. Well, no, they can block you there. But I don't know. It's really awesome to see such a great community, and just a lot of people that just love the game that I enjoy playing.
And honestly, we love every single community member we met. We really love other communities as well, and we love being affiliated with other communities and collaborating with other communities
and going out to dinner with other communities. And
yeah, it was a pretty crazy night.
Community,
yeah,
we had a community dinner tonight, and it was a blast. So I mean, you guys are listening to this. You guys know who you are. So shout out to you guys for that. That was
Woo!
You guys really helped make this trip fun, amazing. So.
Yeah, it was definitely worth every penny to come out here, and I wasn't even to show up.
You're welcome again.
Yeah.
So let's wrap up the daybreak. We cut in the middle. Of it.
I thought we covered it.
I want to really talk about CTF, because I think that map is like the prime example for CTF.
Oh yeah.
And it's very unique from the Outcast.
It's very CTF. Different from Outcast. And
oh yeah.
But the fact there was one time where we had the blue flag. Out there, or Blue was capturing a red flag, and there was this constant battle. I think you guys were in the game.
Yeah, I was in
the
tree.
It was by the tree.
I thought it was by the little spire there, right near the red base. Because I think it was there, but the thing is, though, it was like right back in the corner, and it was like a mad dash.
Yeah, that
to
was
try
the other side.
That.
It was actually on the other side. It was Blue base trying
I don't
to capture
think I
red.
Was in that fight.
Yeah, you can get in a standoff like really, really easily. On that map, grabbing a flag and resetting the timer on it, and instantly dying, and the flag never moves ever. You could literally be fighting for one flag in the middle of the map.
Do you remember what I'm talking about? Though there was that little pillar. Does anybody remember?
Yeah, I remember the pillar. Yeah,
that fight was nuts. Like it was literally in a corner. Like these guys. Like I don't know how the red team
did not
capture
that game.
I think it was a different thing though, but. I don't think I was in that fight. I think I was kind of just trying to mess around with the Banshee.
It was near the very end of the game.
Yeah, because the other one was like near the beginning. Like they walked through the bottom and somebody like caught somebody and it literally came in. Now the base. Let's put it this way: the base is
that one.
The little tiny like silo or whatever you want to call it is right there. But there's a little niche behind it where you can walk through it on foot. The flag got right in there and they could not get to it. And it was like. I think I ended up getting like a triple kill off of one splatter because I was just like, let's go for it. And I died, of course, because somebody's like,
you run for the ghost just about every time on that map.
Dude, I love the ghost on that map. That map is so much fun on the ghost.
You can have your ghost. Take the Banshee.
You can have that. I'm good.
I went for rockets. After
I'm usually on your team.
If you're listening to this, just forget that last part. I won't use the Banshee, I swear. But, I mean, the thing is, getting to the Banshee on that real quick, just one last thing, is, like, and, like, she just mentioned it, I think it was Jess that mentioned it in the panel, that, like, you really have to watch out when you're flying the Banshee, not just for enemy players.
No, that was Andy.
Or, yeah, I think it was Andy.
It was Andy, but, like, you have to concentrate 50% on the players and 50% on the
but you also have to watch out for the terrain, too, because you could easily be boosting and try to splatter somebody, and all of a sudden there's a rock wall in your face, and you're going to, you know, either take down half your shields or kill yourself. So you have to be actually a pretty good pilot. I do not recommend doing any kind of barrel rolls on that map because it really the Banshee barrel rolls really, really wide in Halo 4, I've come to notice, and there really isn't a whole lot of room to do that in this map. You can do it, I'm sure, a lot and get away with it, but your best friend is probably going to be the backflip. So
actually, another really cool thing that came up on that map was, as you said, if you're not a really experienced pilot, don't fly it, because I remember I got on the Banshee and I flew a little too low and somebody tried to hijack me. So I'm like, oh, I'll put on the brakes and like go to the ground. All of a sudden I'm sniped 3 times in the butt of the Banshee and somebody melees the Banshee to blow it up underneath me.
Oh no, he boarded, I told you about this.
Yeah, he boarded me.
He boarded you and kicked you out of it and killed you, but before he could
get I didn't die by that. I died by your sniper bullet.
No. It wasn't a sniper round. I killed you inside it and the guy that was boarding you, and I got a busted medal and blew up the Banshee and killed you too.
Really? I don't think you got
across the map.
This must be a different game because like somebody caught me with a sniper round, and right when I died, the guy jumped in it and my kill cam was a melee from underneath that blew up the Banshee and the guy survived. I'm like, props, dude.
So what do you guys think about the weapons tuning? I feel like that would be cool to talk about.
Are we going to jump on that?
We've really discussed the maps pretty thoroughly, I think. What happened?
Yeah, this is more the map discussion.
Okay. Well, it's almost 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, it is really. And we have to be up at like 6. This goes...
Yeah, so we want to wrap it up then?
Just want to kind of wrap it up.
For another day. But anyway, just to sum it up, weapon tuning. It allows 343 to quickly and easily update certain weapon functions, a rapid-fire storm rifle like that's depleted in, like, half a second.
All right, if you want to know why we're chuckling, watch the panel, and you'll understand.
Yeah, you'll know what we're talking about, but yeah, it's definitely worth mentioning and worth checking it out. So.
Yeah, I'd definitely go do that with the panel.
So,
covers pretty much what we, I think, most of what we did on Thursday night. So
a little bit great other experience. Nights, but
yeah,
never hurts.
But I mean, great, massive thanks out to 343 for inviting us to come out and participate in that event because it was just a blast. It was really fun to meet new people and just get to play the maps without any interruption and get some really good quality gameplay on them.
Absolutely, and I obviously a special shout out to BS Angel because she was just phenomenal during the entire night. She was very nice, very helpful. thanks for all the drinks, of course. Listening, Jess.
Helpful isn't even the word to describe it because actually I left
that's
my
true.
Notebook at the bar.
Oh yeah, I mean just above and beyond. Mick lost his notes, and it was bad because we were taking notes about everything. We wanted to write an article for Ready Up Live, and he was so disappointed about losing his notes, and we go to the 343 panel.
The signing.
The 343 signing on Friday. And she says, oh, I found your notebook.
And she brought it to the show. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So thanks, Jess, for being so cool with all that stuff.
Well, she's like, did one of you guys leave it behind? And then we're like, why didn't you write any notes in this? Oh my gosh, I should have. It's great.
But. So, yeah, massive shout-outs to them for being able to put on the event. And Jess, Kevin, Bravo, Tom.
Tom, I'm sorry, but that man is, like, my hero right now. He was so awesome all weekend long.
And Jerry.
And Jerry.
Jerry.
Jerry. Green Skull says, Jerry!
Jerry!
Oh, my God, it's Jerry!
Kathy was there. A few other 343.
Katie. Also was very informative, too.
Katie, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, we haven't mentioned her. She's been, like, wicked helpful.
I think you did at one point.
Not during this.
No, not during this. We definitely talked about her.
She was there on Thursday.
She chatted us up quite a bit, so yeah.
She was really helpful, really nice. We had some great conversation with her.
She's the coder for our online experience or something.
Basically, the reason that you have your data It's because of her.
Yeah.
Props.
Well, not just her.
Not just her. Of course. Everyone else on the team. Of course. But she is one of those on the team. And she was a lot of fun to talk to.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
But thanks to all you guys. So.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I think it's time we hit the sack.
Yeah.
We gotta do some paxing in the morning and then packing and go to sleep.
Paxing.
Packing.
Packing, packing. So you can find all these guys over on Ready Up Live. You want to go around and give your Twitter handles?
Yeah, I'm at SMG90. Well, obviously the at symbol. So SMG90 Twitter.
Right. Again, I'm Mickey126, and my Twitter is RULs the Mick.
And I'm Drax, but my Twitter is actually Drax122, no spaces. But I also have a Facebook page
that
does
too.
The same thing. My gamer tag is actually, it's Drax122 with a space in between the letters and the numbers.
You're so confusing.
yeah, my gamer tag is also SMG90. It's fairly simple. If you see SMG90, chances are it's me.
You have a space between two.
No, I don't.
No, he doesn't.
You don't have a space?
No spaces, no. Never.
No spaces. Wow.
Mine actually has a space. Mine is Mickey, or MCKY, Mickey, 126. There is a space.
Yeah, just to clarify, because I get this question a lot when people hear my gamer tag or my title, it's actually my initials. Fun fact.
That's convenient.
And honestly, it didn't even occur to me that it was a weapon when I chose it. In fact, my parents in the past even called me SMG. Friends have called me SMG.
Samuel Michael Gamgee.
But, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So we're good. So, you know, like us, follow us on Twitter, all that business.
Thank you very much for Duststorm for letting us
for hosting
this podcast. Thank you very much.
Even though we kind
of
hard.
It's been a lot of fun hanging out with him and walking around and
being in our hotel room till like 3 in the morning each freaking recording. We should do this podcast. We'll wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, and then it's like, okay, now it's 3:30 on Saturday or Sunday morning. So, yeah.
Thank
you guys for sticking it out this late, and thank you guys.
Thank you all listening as well.
Yep.
Thank you to the listeners.
And I hope you enjoy the Castle Map Pack, because we sure did.
Heck yeah, and hit us up. We can definitely, maybe we'll definitely get some playtime in.
Yep. And as a reminder, the Castle Map Pack will be released on April 8th, and Forge Island will be released completely free on April 11th.
All right.
Thank you.
So yes, we will see you guys.
Road trip.
On our, we're doing a collaborative podcast with Grip Wild Hub, so that'll probably be our next podcast that we put up on the feed. So you will see us shortly for that one. Soon after this podcast is posted, so probably a day after, you'll probably get that one as well. We'll do some other podcasts to cover some other packs coverage a little bit later on in the next week. So keep an eye out for that. And, of course, our bulletin show, which will be live streamed at usual time on Thursday, I think. May move that to Wednesday. We will let you know. So thanks, guys, for listening again, and we will see you next time.